Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Random, a.k.a. Mega Ran, here to tell you about my next new project. Now, many of you may know that a few months ago, I put out a documentary called Megalomania. It was about myself and a band of low classics traveling all over the country, bringing rap tunes to you. Now, we're here today to tell you that we want to take this project that we did to the next level. In order to distribute it on all the distributors you know, places like Netflix, like iTunes, like Amazon, and even Redbox. And in order to do that, we need your help. And that's why we are at Kickstarter. And I'm also working on my new album for 2015, which so far has some of my favorite tracks on it. Now, if you back the Kickstarter, you're able to get not only your name and your whatever you want into the documentary and on the new album, but we're working on stretch goals like vinyl, like even putting the entire album on a Nintendo cartridge. That's correct. It can be done, but only with your help. So hit up the Kickstarter page or hit up MegaRant.com for more. As always, thank you for your support. Peace.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. And today is Friday, November 14th, 2014. Technically, it's 11 o'clock, so think of this as your 11 o'clock news for the week that was, the week that is, and the weekend that you're kind of going into. So anyway, wow, this week has been long. Been good, though. Things that have been going on recently, kind of a housekeeping thing. David Double D Dennis has returned to the show. We actually, we should have a new Movie Madness, I'm guessing, out on Sunday or Monday. We recorded two new DVD commentaries that will be out before the end of the year. These are long requested versions that we do. I want to say a longtime fan, Brian, requested these, but I know other people have mentioned these to me on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Someone has always said something to me at some point. So we're definitely getting around to doing stuff like that. What else am I going to tell you? Working on a lot of rads right now. I'm still working on Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I just need to finish up the campaign. I've been playing a lot of multiplayer. Having a blast, actually, with it. I'm probably in the minority of people that really, really like that game, which is kind of weird. Also working on Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. Just got the Amiibo update on my Wii U today. Got that to work. Don't think I can say too much more than that. Working on Assassin's Creed Unity, which should be up very late tomorrow in the Sunday, either way before Monday. Then I have Assassin's Creed Rogue to work on, and I just got Dragon Age Inquisition, and I should have WWE 2K15 before the end of the weekend, and Grand Theft Auto 5 on Xbox One as well. Wow, talk about first world problems, but definitely got a lot of cool stuff coming down the slate. Just posted my Master Chief Collection review, and I still stand by it despite all the launch day problems. I haven't had too many trouble connecting the games. But anyway, what do we got on the show this week? Well, we're going to talk about a little bit about X-Men Apocalypse, some cool stuff about that. Some stuff about the comet that we landed on this week that doesn't involve a guy's shirt. We're going to talk about, well, we're going to kind of have a discussion about the editorial process and review embargoes involving Assassin's Creed Unity, as reported by the BBC. A popular children's author has died, and a lot of us, I'm guessing, especially us geeks and nerds, owe a lot to this guy. And finally, a smarter gun for the future that is designed to protect life, if you will. So, okay, big story coming out this week. They're starting to get some information about X-Men Apocalypse, which is the sequel and follow-up to X-Men Days of Future Past. And the Hollywood Reporter is looking at the script, and so far they claim that the new plot is very much centered upon Magneto and Mystique's romance, and it's front and center in the movie. And considering what we've learned previously about the script, if you've been reading the internet pretty much for any length of time, you know there is a bit of a thing between her and Beast as well. So, evidently, there's probably going to be some kind of a romance triangle there, which I'm actually pretty okay with. I'm actually a huge fan Fassbender as Magneto, J-Law, Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique, and Nicholas Nick as Beast. Really like him. So I'm curious to see how this is going to play out, and I kind of wonder what storyline they're going to adapt for this particular movie, or whether it'll be a kind of a mishmash of other things. I mean, if I had my pick, I'd love to see X-Men Age of Apocalypse, but with Age of Ultron, you're not going to see that. But still, if Marvel ever did an animated movie, Age of Apocalypse would be an awesome, like, 5-6 episode miniseries or something. That'd be really friggin' cool. So I'm kind of looking forward to this. Now, they're going to start filming in Montreal next year, and it's supposed to come out on May 27th of 2016. So still just a little over a year and change away. I'm looking forward to it, man. I mean, I really liked Days of Future Past. In fact, I was a huge fan of the Blu-ray release for that movie as well, which there's something else to talk about. I guess towards the end of the show, I'll mention what's going on with the review show, because we've had a couple setbacks with that, but anyway. So, moving on to my next story. As you guys know, this past week, we've been, had this mission going for like 10 years, and we finally landed on Comet 67P with a bunch of names I can't pronounce. Either way, the lander hit this thing and started picking up some really weird signals. And I'm actually going to link to this. The comet is singing. And what that means is, there's a frequency range that we can't hear. So some scientists at, I'm presuming, the European Space Agency have brought the frequency into the range that we can hear. And it kind of sounds like the Predator, which is kind of weird. They don't know why this is happening. Now, what they've said is, for now, the team's best guess is that the neutral material that was shedding off the comet is becoming ionized or charged by solar wind. As of right now, the mechanism that would accomplish that task is unknown. Which is really cool, and considering how active the sun has been in the last week or two with like multiple M-class and even small X-class flares, we're probably getting the warm-up for what this comet could actually sing. And it's unfortunate we're probably not going to get a whole lot more data out of the lander, because unfortunately when it hit the comet this week, its harpoons didn't quite deploy properly, and it bounced along the edge of the comet and landed in a place where its solar panels can't necessarily collect the necessary solar energy to power the battery. So it's been running off its internal batteries for the last week, and it only has like 60-70 hours in it. And I know they used the drill, and I think they got something like 25 centimeters into the comet to gather samples, but I don't know what's happened beyond that. And it's really kind of cool, the fact that we were able to do this. I mean, to actually, we shot a comet. We landed on it, and that's pretty impressive. And this has been a mission in the making, I'm pretty sure, since 2004, if I'm not mistaken. However, if you've been on the internet this past week, people have been talking a little less about the accomplishment of human science and more about what the scientists wore as a shirt. And evidently it's a Hawaiian shirt with sexy girls all over it. Looks like they're drawn in comic book style. Very Rob Liefeld art, if I had to give an opinion on it. And more people are pissed about that than anything. And I don't know. I really want to give you an honest opinion on it. Honestly, I think it's kind of stupid. I think we should be focusing more on the science than who cares what he's wearing. But obviously, equality, sexism, and I get that. Those are completely valid points. And I totally see it. I really do. But, you know, if something looks cool, it looks cool. I mean, you know, sexism is a problem. I get that. But bigger issues here, guys. Just saying. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm a misogynist or something. Though I believe everybody's equal. Everybody deserves the same crap. We're all built of the same stuff. Whatever. You're no better than me. I'm no better than you. Party on. I'm a humanist, I guess, if you had to label me with a term. I believe everybody sucks, but everybody can be awesome. So, now that I've gone down that little bit of a rabbit hole, which I'm sure I'll get mail about, so Mike at ThisWeekInGeek.net, whether you agree, disagree, or want to educate me, I'm totally open to that line of conversation, but if you think I'm touching Gamergate, not a chance in hell. Anyway, now, speaking of yet another thing that kind of ties into the whole gaming thing, this past week, Assassin's Creed Unity came out, and it's the latest and the one that was developed specifically for next-gen consoles, and I'll have more about the actual game itself in my actual review show, which, like I said, should be in the next day or two for the actual game. And it's been met with some controversy, and this is where this comes in. Now, a lot of people are reporting glitches in this game. So much so that Ubisoft's stock dropped as much as 12.8%, probably closer to 10% on Tuesday. And people have been saying the game wasn't ready for release. And even one journalist over from Polygon has accused Ubisoft, or at least shared his opinion, that the review embargo was weaponized. And what that means is, or what he takes it to mean, is Ubisoft sent out an embargo for this game that we couldn't publish coverage until 9 a.m. Pacific time on the day of release. So this game had been available since midnight Eastern time, and everybody could purchase it via midnight launches, digitally, whatever. So it was suggested that Ubisoft wanted to get as many sales as they possibly could before people could say, no, this game sucks, it's broken. And allow me to explain a little bit more. Now, Ubisoft has said that they're currently working on their next update that will help address some of the specific issues that players are having, including the protagonist Arno falling to the ground, game crashing when joining a co-op session, Arno getting caught inside of hay carts, delay in reaching the menu screen at game start, and because of the multiplayer nature of some of this game, they wanted to wait until the internet was more populated so reviewers could experience the co-op thing. And, well, I had an interesting experience. I actually joined a co-op game very much by accident in this, and the other player didn't move. Now, I kind of wonder if he was just another reviewer like me and just wasn't paying attention, but he sat there and I did an entire co-op mission by myself. Thanks for your help, you dick. It's okay, I got all the rewards, and honestly, I'm a badass, but still. So Ubisoft is kind of talking that they're going to maybe open up more open betas. They're going to have a more transparent review process, so to speak. And I think that's a good idea. But you have to look at this a little bit strangely, the fact that this was so late. But I had this game I've been playing since last Friday. I'm still not done it yet because I did have Dave up, but I tried to put multiple hours in. I'm about 80%. I think I'm on sequence 11 out of 13. I've done all the side missions, as much crap as I can. I know this game inside and out. And I did a review of it on the Sean Green Show, which you can hear across 500 different radio stations. SeanGreenShow.com, if you want to find out more information about that. And I'll say this. That review embargo, I can see where they're coming from a PR perspective and a developer perspective. I get that. I really do. As a journalist, that's a little bit sketchy. Like, honestly, they should have had more online capacity before launch, so reviewers like myself could have said, okay, cool, we did a co-op mission here, we did initiates here, we activated the Uplay stuff here, great. And I don't know. So hopefully they're going to do it. Things will be better. And it's not the first game that's had troubles like this this year. Or at least post-release embargoes. Destiny had one where the servers weren't turned on before the game launched, except by maybe like a day, maybe. And Drive Club, which is broken as all shit. And then there's other games such as Sonic Boom Shattered Crystal, which didn't get any pre-release. This one I think is kind of funny, and I'm not saying anything, but I didn't get review code for Assassin's Creed Rogue until day of release. But I could have got a hard copy maybe, but I think I've only read one review that was online day of release for Rogue. But I had to wait for digital copy. That's just the way things are now. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more on the prototype with Jamie, which we are recording a bunch on Sunday, so we have more until the end of the year. But, little sketchy. Moving on to, well, ultimately more depressing news. If you were a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, and probably still now, your school library has, well, a bunch of really cool books. And you may know them, excuse me, as the Choose Your Own Adventure series, which is considered to be the fourth best-selling children's series of all time. And the guy who was the original publisher and author for these, Raymond Almerian Montgomery, unfortunately passed away on Sunday, November 9th. He was 78 years old. We don't know how he died. And this guy basically was very innovative in getting basically games and everything kind of taken seriously. Stuff like that. And he wrote all these books, which he basically looked at role-playing games as something kind of serious. He actually looked at, I think there was a book in the 70s called Serious Games. And it was this analysis of how role-playing games are awesome for, like, problem-solving. So, anyway, he saw this book called Sugarcane Island, which a guy named Ed Packard wrote. And basically, he put it to print and said, hey, it's a choose-your-own-adventure. And basically, you'd come to a fork in the road, so to speak. So it might be little Timmy is fighting an alien monster and he runs away, but he comes to two forks in the road. If you want to go left, go to page 54. You want to go right, go to page 90. And it would give you different outcomes and you could mix and match how you wanted to do things. Some of these things would lead to you dying. Some of them would lead to a happy ending, a sad ending, or kind of a ending. So it was really cool. Basically, you were in charge of the story. And I remember reading these a lot as a kid because the school I went to was Hepworth, Amabel Hepworth Central Public School. Bit of a mouthful. Up in northern Ontario. And I remember reading a crap ton of these. And it was really cool, though. there were so many people that actually started kind of writing these books under this guy. The guy who did this, the Ray, he didn't use ghostwriters. So every author who wrote in this series had their name used. There was Jay Leopold, Doug Willem, Laban Carroll Hill, a winner who won the National Book Award. He invited so many people to come back and write books, and there were just so many cool ones. Now, the one that I remember quite clearly was it involved a spaceship and going to Jupiter for some reason. Jupiter and Venus, and these were somewhat terrestrial planets at the time. And I remember my first death in one of these books. I remember we were in the upper atmospheres of Jupiter or something, and I was on some space probe, and I opened the door because I was trying to escape from something, and I died because I basically imploded. But still, that was a tremendously cool book. And these are such a tremendously cool series. Now, the last book that was the final title, anyway, for him was called Gus vs. the Robot King. And that was released this past September. Although new books have stopped been publishing. I'm just kind of looking through this here. In fact, I'm actually just going to read you this. So it is accurate and I'm not wrong. Montgomery continued to write books for Choose Your Own Adventure throughout his career. His final title, Gus vs. the Robot King, was released this past September. Montgomery and Gilligan had taken over the series when Bantam Doubleday Dell, now an imprint at Random House, stopped publishing new books in 2000. In 2003, they co-founded Choose Co. LLC to relaunch the series. Montgomery, who was passionate about education all his life, felt that interactive fiction was critical to reluctant readers in achieving reading fluency, which is the final stage of achieving true literacy. He thus felt it imperative to keep the books in print. Choose Co. had sold 10 million copies of 65 Choose Your Own Adventure titles in the last 9 years. A movie based on Montgomery's Choose Your Own Adventure, Mystery of the Maya, is currently in development at Fox Films. He's survived by his wife, Shannon Gilligan, of Warren, Vermont, and a couple of sons and his daughters, and whatever. Not whatever, obviously massive respect, and a private memorial was planned for the spring. Man, I really kind of wish, as a geek, I wish I'd actually kind of reached out to this guy before he passed away. I think he would have been a really cool interview, actually. So, rest in peace, Mr. Montgomery. Thank you for basically helping change gaming and the way people look at literacy. So I got one more story this week. This one I'm actually going to keep kind of short because there is a whole different realm of politics you could jump into this. And I think this is kind of cool, and I totally believe police forces should be using this. So that should tell you where this is going to go. So they're talking about having smart guns. And I'm not talking the Shadowrun smart gun where a reticle appears wherever you're pointing your weapon in your cyber eyes. But whatever. So there are these networked guns. And they're currently being used in two police departments in Carrollton, Texas, and Santa Cruz, California. And what it is, it basically tells headquarters every time your weapon is fired. And that's cool because evidently there is no reporting system for how this happens. Evidently, out of 17,000 total police agencies in the United States, only 750 of them do self-reporting. And while the self-reported number of justifiable homicide is about 400, academics and other journalistic agencies claim that number to be over 1,000. That's kind of nuts. That no one is keeping track of when these weapons are fired, how they're drawn. In fact, I would propose you take this technology one step further. Is there should be a network connection whenever that gun is taken out of the holster. And it would log it. Kind of like, maybe you could use it like that kind of near field technology they use in like credit cards and whatnot. So basically when the gun passes a certain thing, it registers as being taken out or something like that. And then fired, obviously it's a different thing. How long the gun was out, stuff like that. Basically if you could apply the same technology that's in the iPhone in terms of you can tell how it's being positioned, an accelerometer, etc., it would certainly go a long way in protecting the police when something does happen, but also protecting us as the public by saying, I don't think this happened this way, let's look at the data. And I totally think the government, as well as the police agencies, should be heavily looking at this technology. And this is being developed by Yard Arms Technology, and at least it's kind of like a small step for this. Now, the chip is implanted in the sides of the gun. It doesn't make it look any different, really. And how this thing works is the equipped gun Actually, you know what? It actually works. Like, I was actually just kind of double-checking something. And the gun is, it does check. It actually transmits a signal to the cop's smartphone whenever the gun is even removed from its holster. But you could probably put more of that back. And then it sends some encrypted data back to police headquarters. I'm actually going to link this article as well. I think that's cool. I really do. And if you could see maybe crime drop with this, or, you know, use of firearms drop with it. I mean, obviously, I don't want to put people in danger, either the police or people, necessarily. So, I don't know. I think this is a very cool first step into accountability, and I think it's a very cool thing that we should definitely be looking into in the long term. So, that's the kind of week it was here on the Nerd News Network. I have about 20 minutes to get this up online before it is the 15th. So hopefully you guys have had a good week. Like I said, lots of stuff coming up in the next few weeks, few days. I'm not sleeping because I care about you, the people, the little people, the wee people. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. Have you guys a safe and happy weekend, and hopefully next week, I think, is American Thanksgiving and Black Friday, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it's the last weekend. I don't know. Someone tell me. Mike at thisweekingeek.net. I still don't know. Anyway, guys, good night, and I'll talk to you guys on Sunday or Monday. Either way. Bye.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.